Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I've been with my baby.
Yes. Shed blood from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
In relationships, I am your host, KL Belvin, and I am accompanied with my very lovely and pregnant wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Are you there, love?
Yes, I am.
All right. So we want to say thank you for tuning in tonight. And as always, we are excited to be here, and we're going to discuss relationships, but not just the normal type of relationships, you know, male, female, whatever, whatever. We're going to discuss relationships from various viewpoints, the social context of things, the connection to things, because any relationship that you have with someone is a relationship. Now, to what length, what depth, well, that's what we're going to discuss. And so we're happy if you tuned in tonight here in 2014, and we are excited. So, without further ado, my lovely wife, as we do every week, why don't you fill us in on how your week has been?
My week has been My week was excellent, I have to say. Monday, I celebrated my 38th birthday. And as you can imagine, I'm definitely getting old because I almost forgot it was my birthday. Maybe it's not for Facebook. I wouldn't have realized. But with everything going on with the baby, you know, just different things, trying to get the house, the apartment together, and just paperwork and everything, I didn't even think about, oh, my birthday. You know, my birthday's every January. But just to think, okay, I actually celebrate my 38th birthday, and I relax. I just relax. I sat on the chase. I watched them on demand on TV, a few movies, and I just really enjoyed the day, just relaxing. It was like the first time in a very, very long time that I can actually say I relaxed on my birthday. Usually I'm working and working hard, but this year I was thankful to be home, resting, and just enjoying life. Today actually was the first time in a long time that I went out on my own, and I took the dog for a walk, because as most people know, if you're paying attention on Facebook or if you're listening to the show, I have been on what could be considered modified bed rest, because toward the end of the 6 months, I started having contractions, and we definitely did not want the baby to come early. So as much as I hate it, and I'm kind of getting cabin fever from being in the house all the time, today I actually took the dog for a walk and was able to get out, and it felt good. But then the crazy thing is, I came back in the house, and I was told, KL called me, she was on his way home from work, and he called me, and all of a sudden I just felt really weird. I felt like lightheaded and dizzy, so I might have did too much. So just have to take it a little easy, and I'm just looking forward to the baby coming. It's today actually makes 8 weeks. 8 weeks from today, we are anticipating our little one. I can't wait, and I'm excited about that. A couple of friends of mine, Mary Jo Madden, I mentioned before, Mary Jo Madden, and also Tanisha Malone, came by earlier this week and dropped off some things for the baby, which I really, really appreciate. And they dropped off a painting that I put together myself. I was so excited, and I left it in the room, in the bedroom, for Big KL to see it when he came home from bowling on Monday. So he was really excited about that. But unfortunately, now we have to keep our bedroom door closed because we don't want Storm to do his business on the playpen. So sometimes
he likes to show us he loves us. He likes to show us he loves us by blessing things. So we have to go take him to get him snipped.
Yes. So sometimes Storm is in the room with me now, sitting on the bed, just laying there, because he hates to be out of the room where I'm not. So he follows me all over the place. Ever since I've been pregnant, he follows me everywhere. So if I don't bring him into the bedroom with me, he will sit at the door, and he will scratch, and he will whine. You'll probably hear him on the radio. So I had to bring him in. But normally, since we put the playpen up, we have to keep the door closed so that he doesn't christen playpen before little KL can use it. But other than that, it's been a nice week, calm week. I got in the mail a letter from my attorney, because for those who have been listening and paying attention to Facebook, I had to contact an attorney regarding circumstances with my former employer, and I got a letter in the mail that I'm going to have an appeal with the Department of Labor, and my attorney is very optimistic, and actually from the first appeal that we did, the judge made some suggestions, which made me believe that it would be optimistic and a positive turnout. So I'm just waiting for a date for that to happen. But in the meantime, I'm chillaxing. I'm chillaxing. Mm. How was your week, honey?
If that's even English. I don't have weeks no more. I just have days.
Aww.
And each day becomes what it is. No, I really don't. My week is it's been okay. I can't say I'm happy with the current situations, but I'm dealing and I'm learning that you still have to remain focused on the things at hand, the task at hand, and that's what I'm doing. You know, it is what it is. I'm working hard, as well as released a new book this past Tuesday. Last week, I'm sorry. It was last week, and as we had the guest on last Thursday, it was exciting to talk about it. But one of the things that I'm finding interesting is when dealing with church folks, you know, I don't get caught up in words because you can listen to 1,000 things that people say. But at the end of the day, it's what they do that tilts the scales one way or the other. And I can honestly say I am shocked by the lack of attention paid to the work that was put out when so many folks who love the Lord pat me on my back for things that to me are minuscule compared to when you actually can complete a whole book. And that's what the three of us, the three authors, Maurice M. Gray Jr., Isaiah David Paul, and myself did. You know, when you lay down 60,000 words to uplift them, to offer something towards folks who are in the kingdom of the Lord, you're attempting to not only please the Lord, you're trying to give an alternative to what's out here. And when you see that, it's kind of like, okay, cool. It makes you wonder, especially when you see other works that have nothing to do with the faith being sold. But one of the things that's great is that when you have brothers and sisters that you lean on, that you deal with, they remind you why you got into writing in the first place. And that's why I'm glad that I have accountability brothers and sisters around me, is that I got into help others. It wasn't about sales. So if I help one or two people, then I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I have to always rope myself back in, because it's very easy to get caught into wanting to see things sold, wanting to make money. And I try to not allow myself to get sucked into that, because I got into this with the idea of helping others. But it does get a little frustrating when you get all these pats on the back, and then you turn around and say, but I need that financial support. Woo! Hold on, bro. Got to get these new J's. Hold on, bro. Got to go to the club. And you can't ever tell somebody how to spend their money. And I think that's one thing that any entrepreneur, any independent person who has their own business has to understand, is that people are affected by the promotion and marketing, and they're going to do what they want to do with their money anyway, and you can't get upset about it. You know, I came across something that I found interesting. I did a lesson in school with my kids. And, you know, everybody listening knows I teach junior high school kids. So you're talking about 12, 13, 14, 15, and a couple of slow ones who might be around 16. I asked them to consider people they thought were successful. Consider what makes them successful. And then we're going to discuss it. I'm going to put you in groups. You're going to discuss it. And then you're going to come up with two or three sentences that reflect your overall thinking. So they sat down. So you can imagine Beyonce, Barack Obama, you know, you name the entertainers, Oprah. There was a couple Bill Gates thrown in there. But for the most part, it was, you know, entertainers, politicians, or singers, rappers, whatever. Okay. And then I have four different groups pretty much, and I did it with a couple different classes. On every sheet, of course, rich was there, or wealthy, some form of that, because the kids definitely equated being successful to having money. But what I found interesting was that when they all sat down as a group and came up with their two or three sentences that reflected what success meant to them, they all included living out your dreams, finishing your education, doing the things that, or using your talents, there was some form of that. So every kid to a man and woman said education was extremely important. But the bulk of the people that they chose to claim were successful hadn't finished school. They were using their talent to make money, but they hadn't finished school. So I said to the kids, how could you choose, how could you say that education is important and it is what makes you successful, but yet you chose only one or two people who actually finished school? Now, of course, we know that Barack Obama finished school and Nelson Mandela was on one of the sheets. We know that he finished school. But they chose entertainers, athletes, and the whole, I would say 75 to 80% of the names that was on the sheets of 40 different kids did not finish school. So I said to them, what does that say about the things that you're seeing and how it's affecting you? And they paused, and they thought about it, and they kind of went back and forth. And they said, well, I guess they're messing up our minds. I said, who's they? Because when y'all were able to sit down and talk amongst yourselves, look at how positive the answers were. But when you thought by yourself, you automatically equated it to people who are using their talents. You don't. And then what I found interesting was no one chose anyone that they actually had physical or intimate contact with. When I say intimate, I mean being able to touch the person directly. I'm not talking about intimate being nasty, get your mind out of the gutter. But I'm saying had no direct connection to. I thought that was interesting too. None of the kids chose anybody that they could actually speak to as
like their parents.
Like their parents, myself. And I'm not saying pick me, but I'm saying a teacher, a role model. They chose people that they have never met and may never meet as successful. So then I'm thinking, our kids are looking at folks they may never actually get close to as the moniker for success, and not even looking at people close, and only two said themselves. And the parameters was you can choose anybody you want. I didn't push the kids in any direction. I said choose anybody that you want. So when given the opportunity, none of them thought close to home. And I thought that was very telling to how marketing and promotion play on our children.
That's very interesting, because I remember teachers asking us similar things when I was in school of who we thought was successful. And the first person that came to my mind was my mother. And the reason why is because she was a teen parent and a black woman living in the ghetto. And automatically, when you have those type of things in place, the people think, according to the stereotype, the odds are already against you. So for me, to see my mother overcome that and be able to go to school, get her bachelor's degree, get her master's degree, start studying for her doctorate, to me, I thought that was very successful that she didn't allow her circumstance, because she was on public assistance, you know, welfare, different things. She didn't allow that to keep her in a position of not being able to achieve her goals. So I never even thought about celebrities, because the difference between us when we were children and today's kids, we didn't have that much access and knowledge about celebrities. We didn't have computers.
I can't lie to you. I'm older than you, and I would have said Charles Barkley, and I had
really?
Never met him. So we still had access to television. And you still had access to Soul Train.
We have easier access to celebrities now than when we were kids. There was no social media. You couldn't send a message to a celebrity and they respond.
Everybody sat on Saturday and watched Soul Train. Everybody watched the American Music Awards. I stopped watching in 87, but I'm talking about when I was younger. Everybody watched the Grammys. Everybody watched the Ten Commandments when it came on. Everybody watched Gone with the Wind. Everybody watched The Wizard of Oz.
Today, at any point, I can go on a computer and shoot Patti LaBelle a message, and she just may respond.
Well, that's why when you look at the kids, none of them chose people that was close to home because of the access that they have. But the fact is, when they sat down and was able to discuss amongst themselves, they were able to come to the understanding that education was important. But when just going on their own thoughts, one of the first things that they thought about was, it is somebody who is rich, and the fact that they all said rich. So one of the homework questions was, does being rich make you successful? And pretty much all of the kids said yes. A couple said no because it said money money doesn't make you, a couple of kids said money doesn't make you different. It just gives you, you know, opportunity to do some things, which is how I feel. But for the most part, all of them said, yes, money makes you successful. And it's interesting because
their parents and the working adults around them are successful.
None of them said their parents. None of them said anybody in the neighborhood. None of them said a working role model. And the reason why I'm doing this lesson, it's leading up to a book that I'm having them, going to have them start reading in a couple of days, called The Pact, between these three doctors, three brothers from Jersey, who made a pact and pushed each other through medical school, and they all became doctors and all decided to go back into their neighborhoods to use the services because they had seen how negative things were around them. And they talk about the negative influences, because right now the lesson that we're doing is positive and negative influences that we just see from the book. So what I'm trying to get them to do is, of course, like anything, see themselves first before they decide to read the book. So hopefully the content in the reading will attach to things that they see in their neighborhood. So the biggest thing is that, no, they didn't pick anyone. And that's telling, because when folks like myself and other brothers and sisters I know try to get the school system of New York City to do things that allow for more mentorship, I am met with roadblocks. Like my young men's group was not reinstated this year. So again, after, like in my other school, I was able to get it in for 2 years and then it was dissolved. And last year, we had a good turnout last year, and a couple of kids even said, you know, Mr. B, what happened to our men's group? And I explained to them, done off. I was told no money, no space, no whatever. And that seems to be the problem is, but if I wanted to teach the kids extra English, if I wanted to teach the kids extra math, they would find money because they've now deemed the English and math and other things more important than social progression. And that is my biggest angst with Department of Education in urban areas across the country, is that we have seen to place social norms to the side as if it's not important while we try to push the academics, but we seem to have removed the social skills. And so what am I supposed to do? And this is my ongoing fight, because we have already removed arts. We've already removed the performing arts. We've already removed hands-on type learning. So the kids are struggling, because kids that have entertainment in their blood, kids that have look at the stars and dream about things, the dreamers are being crushed because they're being forced to be academics, and some of them, that's not them. And they may not be exposed to that until they're in high school or college, and some give up on it. When how many child prodigies have we seen at very young age do things because they were exposed? And we hear this young lady was singing at 2 or 3. Tiger Woods was playing golf and was on the Merv Griffin show at 4 or 5 years old putting. So when we take the physicality part away from the kids to be social, what are we left with? Especially when we know that academics is low in urban neighborhoods. It hurts.
Well, you know, something I always said, and my mother and I, we used to discuss it as well, because I don't remember being taught social skills in school. This is something I had to either develop on my own, or I waited until I got into corporate America in order to learn how to build those social skills. And I'm talking about like team development, learning how to work with people, learning how to communicate to people. And that's the problem, because I realized, even volunteering with the Lady Dove, that a lot of our youth, no matter how intelligent and whether they're academically excelling or they're not, they seem to have a lack of effective social skills and being able to communicate with each other. And I don't know if that's because of the breakdown in school. I don't know if there's a breakdown at home. But it's very important that you know how to express yourself. And a lot of the youth today do not know how to express themselves. And sometimes I find myself looking at them like, really, is that what, how you think? Is that what you believe? And they seem to think nothing is wrong with it. So we have to find some type of way to combat that. It's interesting.
Well, one of the things is I just had a conversation with a brother that I used to work with, and he's trying to start a not-for-profit that he's looking to try to help turn around things in the Brooklyn areas that he comes from, and it's actually your old neighborhood of Brownsville. And he actually spoke to me and said, you know, he has some connections to the new administration that's coming into power here in the city, and he was hoping that with those influences he can try to get things started. And he asked me what I want to be involved when they get it started. I said, for sure. Because if I can get with any grassroots organization that's going to try to help turn things around for these kids, I'm with that. Currently, it's very difficult, but people don't seem to get that. And when I speak to folks, it's strange because it's still tied to what I do as a business person. See, when I sell books, what I do with the profits allows me to do for the individuals that I work with. Like the kids, like after we were talking about it, the kids said, wow, I could have put you down, Mr. B. I said, hey, I wasn't going to tell you to put me down. And the kids said, because you got education and you're successful, you write books. And so once they started thinking away from what they're being told to think, they start to see the world a little bit different. But you can't.
Right.
Now, and the funny part is there's lessons that I teach like that I'm told I can't teach because it's not preparing them for the exam. I have even gotten trouble in other schools where I've been told my social lessons are not needed because it takes away from the rigor. That's the buzzword in the educational field. So all the educators listening know exactly what I'm talking about, is that it's not rigorous enough towards what these kids need towards taking a test for the future. But I will argue this. How much of the language and other things that you learned, the math, the social studies, did you learn in junior high school and high school? Did you actually use once you went to college? Some of it, yes, not as much. And then when you got into particular areas, professors showed you what they wanted to show you anyway. So how much of it was really used?
But even after college, because I even have friends who, it's so funny that some of the things that you learn, and I have a friend, she has her degree and everything. She now has her own business. She has a few early childhood development centers within the city. But it's so funny. I remember when we were in school, she was constantly in the book, constantly at tutors, just trying to get her degree and do what she needed to do to finish school. Once she was finished passing the test, and I'm putting up air quotes, passing the test, she didn't retain anything she learned. So basically, are you really learning? You're being taught to pass the test, but are you really absorbing everything in order to be able to use it? And everything she learned, she didn't use it later on. And she admits, I have a degree, but I didn't use it. I learned stuff in order to be able to pass this class and be able to attain my degree, but everything I learned, I can't even give it back to you.
Well,
so
many do. Many do. And it's sad.
Teaching this to our kids. Learn in order to be able to pass the test and get through, but they're not retaining anything. So where do you go with that? If they can't
apply, who's creating anymore? Think about it. How many jobs now are asking you to create? Like, how many jobs are really asking you to dig into who you are and come up with something new? Many of the jobs that folks are trying to obtain now are jobs that two or three people could step in once one person leaves, next person steps in. How many jobs are saying, okay, here's this, make it something? Most jobs are not doing that. And so because most jobs aren't doing it, why would schools teach it? And this is why those who have busted out of the box and said, well, I'm going to do something different, have gone on to incredibly successful futures because they've been able to say, you know what, I just think that we can take this plane and fly it a little higher. We can take this plane and make it a little wider. We can take this glass and do something else with it. We can build this house with solar panels and heat it the same way we would with gas. See, someone has to say, no, I want to do something different. Because it's not fostered in school. Now, some schools are. Some charter schools and some public schools are just thumbing their nose and saying, you know, we're going to have some fun. Because when did fun get taken out of school? See, I don't understand that part either. It's like, it's even the fun has to be controlled. Okay, on third period on Friday, you're going
to
have some fun. Well, I did. I had fun all the time. That's why I stayed in trouble. I had fun.
Well, you stayed in trouble. You made your own fun. But
yes,
I did. The reality of school is not fun.
Well, I was going to have fun. See, I look back on school. I stayed in trouble, and I had a ball. Well, I was a nonconformist, so I was going to get in trouble just because. Everybody went right, I'm going left just because. Just because. You say boys line up on the right, I'm getting on the left. Just because. Just to see what happens. And I'm going to be that kid that's going to make a fool as you drag me to the principal's office. Even as my mom came up to beat me, I'm going to act silly. I'm going to have some fun. I caught many a beat. But anyway, moving on. Hey, listen. Let's talk to, you know what, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and listen to your news, because I know it's going to make us sad, as it does every Thursday. But we're going to take a little break. Listen, anybody listening, I want to say thank you again for tuning in to Deep Salad Radio, Reality and Relationship. This is what Tiff and I do. We're going to take a two-song break, and then we're going to come back, do the news, and then we're going to talk about ratchet. This just ridiculous videos of children doing God knows what, and Tiff was telling me some things earlier that she's seen in a video, and I'm actually so happy I didn't see it, but I've seen enough. We're going to talk about these ratchet videos and what's really going on with that, and where does it end? And so if you're listening and you want to call in and tell us about a ratchet video that you've seen that just disturbed you, or, you know, if you're one of those people that enjoy them, come on in here and get roasted. The number is 646-200-3838. Just press number 1. Let the host know that you want to speak to Tiffany and I, and we will definitely take your call. And here, and we're open. We don't judge you. We will, even if we don't agree, we're not going to get into no yelling and screaming. So all I say is don't come in, you know, on tilt. We'll give you an opportunity to express yourself, and then we'll have a very educated dialogue, because our children are being damaged by this. And I want to get an idea of, why do we think this is fun, or is this just another problem with social media that we can't fix? So when we come back after the two-song break, Tiff will do the news, and we'll get right into tonight's subject. Again, thank you for tuning in to Reality and Relationships on GQ Palace Radio. We'll be back in two songs.
You're beautiful, yes. You're beautiful, yes. You'll be
You're beautiful, yes. In and outside.
What we gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
Da baby, da baby, da baby. Da, da, da.
Da baby, da baby, da baby.
Your problems, baby, and I got mine. Let's just end it all by putting it together. Yeah. When you say you love me, it don't mean nothing. If you care, you'd be there like you used to be. Yeah.
I'm searching for the words to make you realize that I really, really want you.
There's a position
sorry, man. That was my joint, man. Blackstreet, we don't get singing like that no more. Oh, my God. You know what, man? Can I get a round of applause for the DJ? GQ Palace always plays outstanding music. Yes. Welcome back. Yes, they always play the outstanding music. Love the breaks. Welcome back to Reality Relationships. And we're going to go right to the news. So, Tiffany, what is going on that you want to bring to the table tonight? Let me hold on because I know I'm going to be like, sad. But go ahead. What's going on in the news that you want to talk about?
I'm going to surprise you because I have no sad news tonight.
Yeah, I believe it when I hear it.
What I actually wanted to make mention of is the global...
The what?
I'm asking because I'm already thinking about it. The Golden Globe Awards.
Yeah, whatever.
Wait.
You know, I don't. I haven't watched an award show since '87. I know people are not going to believe that, but I haven't watched an award show since George Michael won Best Soul Artist, and that was my protest. So I haven't watched a Coltrane Award, a Grammy, an Emmy, nothing. So tell me about it. What's up?
You know, that makes two of us because I don't watch the award shows either. They actually bore me. But
Best Soul Artist. Come on.
I did want to make mention of the movie, the film 12 Years a Slave. It won
12 Years a Slave.
Best Motion Picture Drama, which... From what I understand, everyone was happy because people who have seen it said it was well deserved. I have not seen it yet. It's based on, which I found out, it's based on a memoir, and it's actually a true story about a man who spent 12 years as a slave after he was drugged and kidnapped. And it took him 12 years.
I'm up in the air. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I want to see it, but I'm up in the air.
Say it again?
I said I'm up in the air. I'm not sure if I want to see it because these slave movies be, you know, I be wanting to put on my black leather glove and my red and green and black hoopie and...
you know, it's funny that you say that
I don't come away feeling... as long as they don't give me Django, I'm all right. Cause that was... whatever.
I haven't seen Django either. It takes me a long time before I can watch movies like this because it stirs up a lot of emotion and a lot of passion.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot for me to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to watch this movie. I'm trying to think what the movie was called. What was that movie where there was a affluent black town that got burnt down by the white? Yes.
Rosewood, which Soul Plane made more money than.
Well, we already know what that situation is
about. Soul Plane made more money than Rosewood. People need to be ashamed of themselves.
It took me
several
years.
Looking around, I was like, there's nobody in here. But Soul Plane made more money than Rosewood. That should tell you everything you need to know about African-American support.
But you know what? It's not just about support, honey. It took me several years before I can actually sit down and watch Rosewood just
right.
What?
So Soul Plane, though, right?
Yes, but I didn't pay to see it.
Okay.
I didn't pay to see Soul Plane. I actually saw it on TV, and I also saw Rosewood on TV. And it's not a movie that I would watch again. Because, like I said, it drives up a lot of emotions in me that knowing what our ancestors went through and how they were mistreated, killed, abused, and it's hard for me to sit through that. When I had to watch, Sometimes in April, that movie about...
When I showed you the Rwandan situation, yeah.
Right, the Rwanda situation. And they 96. Had the other movies, too. Sometimes in April... Yes, the Hotel Rwanda. I actually cried through those movies. I cried because just to think that people actually went through this and were killed.
It's funny. Hold on one second. It's funny that hold that thought a second because it's funny that you brought that up. We had the conversation in school. Today's Tuesday. And when I was explaining to three other educators that I've taught that lesson, sometimes in April and
Hotel Rwanda.
Now, they had seen Hotel Rwanda, but they had never seen Sometimes in April. When I was explaining to them what went on, and that the American government knew that genocide was being committed in Rwanda because satellite images had shown. Now, this is what I want people to understand. 800,000 people were murdered in 100 days in April.
Yes.
I mean, it ended in April, but 100 days. The bodies were laid out all over Rwanda, which is not a big country, that from satellite images, they could see the bodies. But they have one of the reporters, and I can't remember her name, she actually says, we do have reports of possible genocide in Rwanda. And one of the reporters goes, well, how many acts does it take to be considered genocide? And then the UN only removed Belgium and other dignitaries or folks that were non-Rwandan out of the area. So the people that were doing the killing realized, as long as they don't kill the white people, harm the UN delegates, and harm the UN troops, they were free to murder anybody that they wanted. And some of the men were telling their wives, I am going to work to cut the tall trees. And cut the tall trees was the code for I'm going out to kill the Tutsis, because you had the Hutus and Tutsis in Rwanda. And they would walk in hordes with clubs and machetes, murdering anybody that was of the Tutsi designation, even though they were all Rwandan. This ridiculous. 800,000 in 100 days. That is 8,000 people a day being murdered and the bodies just being left out in the streets, on the sides of the roads, and wherever. It was just filth, just ridiculous.
It's horrible.
And they downplay it because the guns that were being used were left there by Americans years earlier and Belgian troops. So people need to read it. When you talk about crying, I remember when I showed both movies to the students, I remember them trying to hold back their tears. I remember when they showed when they killed the girls at a school where the girls all got murdered. And you can see the kids, even the boys, and I always find it interesting watching the boys trying not to be emotional, but it was very difficult. So at times I had to stop and we had to talk. So, but go ahead, dog.
No, but that's just what it is. Like, I plan to watch 12 Years a Slave eventually. I would actually prefer to read the book because I am interested in the story, but it's really difficult for me to sit through those types of stories. And I'm just thankful to know that they did win a Golden Globe Award for Best Motion Picture. And I'm actually looking forward to, because Brad Pitt is in it, Alfre Woodard, Chiwetel Ejiofor. These are some very good actors in the business, and I'm actually looking forward to watching it. So eventually, I will pick up a book or check out the movie. Also, more news from the Golden Globe Awards. How could we not discuss Gabourey Sidibe? Which, you know, is funny.
Cinnabon.
I just
Gabby Cinnabon with that white chiffon mess she had on. But good.
You know, she's been in the news because, of course, there was much talk about the dress she had on.
And they went in on her on Twitter. They did a dirty.
It's interesting because, you know, our take from the fashion world as a plus size model, I think Gabourey Sidibe is a beautiful young lady. I think she's very intelligent. She's definitely a good actor. I have to say, the dress she had on did not enhance her at all. I've seen her wear things that were much more flattering to her shape.
True.
That particular dress just was not doing it. And then I learned that the dress was actually altered. When she originally got the dress, it looked one way from the designer, but then she had a stylist that altered the dress, and unfortunately, that's what we saw on the runway at Golden Globe.
It did not do her shape, and as a fan of Full Figured Eye Candy. I love full figured women. Anybody that knows me knows that. And so to see her shape, it did not make her shape look appealing. She actually looked like she was pregnant. And then the sad part was I have seen her wear dresses in interviews, and I've seen her wear things that, you know,
more flattering.
You know, and you may not find her the most attractive person. That's fine. That's your choice. But she has been dolled up in ways that make her look attractive, and I just don't get that choice. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry. You look in the mirror. You had to see that in the mirror. Maybe it was just too late. She had nothing else. You just had to go do what you had to do. But her comeback to the folks on Twitter, please discuss that, because I dug that.
She actually said, you know, it's funny, I didn't even pull it up, but she actually
I got it.
You got it?
That,
okay.
But what happened was she had said, because I remember reading it, she said when they were getting at it, she said, yeah, I'm really heartbroken because I know y'all talking about me, but I'm heartbroken on a private jet.
While on my way to my dream job.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's to me, that's what it's about. Hold yours. People going to dislike you. Hold yours. But, mm-hmm. you know, make sure they understand that you're doing you, and not in a real nasty way, but, you know, you shoot them down and keep them moving.
You know, people would say really horrifically mean things. And to me, it's not necessary to be mean-spirited because, again, I'm part of the plus-size fashion industry, and we all had our opinions that, and most of us agreed that the dress, although we have seen her before, she has looked beautiful, she's looked nice, this particular dress was not doing her any justice at all. And we felt that it should have, either the original dress she had should have been left alone, or they should have made a better dress choice. So hopefully, okay. you know, her stylist, she needs to change style. She needs to actually have someone that is familiar with plus size stylists. And I know a few that are very good at what they do.
She
so
should
maybe,
actually show up to Full Figure Fashion Week. She's from New York. There's no reason why she shouldn't be there, because she is something that would really she's somebody that would really, you know, benefit from what Full Figure Fashion Week puts into place.
Yes.
Because
yes.
if anybody has
and
ever been, go to fullfigurefashionweek.com and you'll
no,
see what
you got
about.
The address wrong, honey. You
no,
know, I'm going to put the phone on you. I'm going to tell you the info. The website for Full Figure Fashion Week is fffweek.com. And it's actually 16th to June 21st this year. I have been there every year. I have attended at least one event every year for the past, this will make actually 6 years. So I'm excited about it.
You crown on last year.
No, last year was 5 years. This year makes 6 years.
Yes.
So I'm very
excited
about it.
And get your pictures early, too. Don't sit and wait and go, I think I'm going to hold off. As
no,
go to the website
the
same
day.
Same day. So don't and if nothing else, if you don't do nothing else, go on the boat ride, go on the final fashion show. Make sure you have tickets to those if you don't do nothing else, simply because those are the highlights. I went the first year. You know, I wanted to go on.
Almost missed his chance at buying a ticket.
Actually, I was supposed to be involved the first year, but I had a mean principal who wouldn't let me leave school early. And if I had left school early, she was going to fire me. So it was just really messed up that she wouldn't let me leave school early. So I missed an opportunity to sit in on a panel that was discussing different things going on. So what else you got going on in the news? Let's keep it moving, because I want to get to this subject, because it's itching at me.
Actually, I wanted to mention also, because, of course, this is the new year. We're only 16 days in the new year. And I was sad to learn, and this just might be the climate for the times and our economy, I was sad to learn that within the new year, we've already had 8 homicides. And
here in New York?
Here in New York, yes.
Wow.
8 homicides here in New York. And they're basically saying that they believe that there might be an increase of 75% in homicides for 2014.
But there's actually other cities that's more than that already, right, I believe.
Yeah, there's definitely more. I was trying to find the numbers as of today, but I couldn't get the details. But just to learn that basically we averaged about a person dying a day for the first week of the new year was unbelievable. And actually, it was 8 people in the first 5 days. So it was averaging more than a person a day for the first week. So I'm very sad about that, and I'm hoping things will change. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea, but we need to work on that. People are angry, and they're going around killing each other.
Well, it's not that they're angry. They're broke, and they're broke first, and then from being broke, it creates a situation where, you know, the haves and have-nots. And
right.
When you have folks that, come on, come here, puppy. When you have folks that don't have, this is what it is. And honestly, access to weapons, I keep saying it. You know, no one seems to go after these folks that seem to keep getting their hands on guns. Why is it that we don't go after that? But that's just me. You know, it is what it is. But, sad, that many people. I worry because, of course, I have younger sons, 21 and 18, or 22, going to be 22 and 18, and to know that they're out there and they're living their lives and enjoying it, but it just makes you worry because you bump into somebody now, you get into an argument, and it could end your life. It's just crazy.
Well, you're looking at
really
somebody.
Ridiculous. Yeah, that's a new thing. I read to you the other day, the guy chased the guy for 15 miles because of road rage, only to shoot him. To kill him because of something that happened on the highway. Who chases somebody for 15 miles to kill him? Like, who's walking around with that much rage? But this is what it is. And people are dying over stupid things. But, you know, and one last thing, too, on the news, Kanye West. We may have to talk about that another night because I'm not sure. Like, I definitely don't believe that he should have beat the dude up. But when you look at what he called Kim, and he called her the N-word lover, and called her a slut, I think, or something like that, whatever it is. And Kanye was on the phone, and Kanye showed up and roughed my man off. Yo, that's hard, somebody disrespecting your wife to hold that. And I'm a Christian, and I'm saying that. It's hard. You really want to stick your foot up in somebody behind for disrespecting your wife. And so I'm not sure how I feel about Kanye, but I think I wouldn't have let that cat win like that because now he's definitely going to collect money. You're definitely going to have to pay him because he goes to court. You know, anything could happen, and you got to pay him because he's going to say, I have the right to say whatever, and he does. And you can't just beat the cat up because you don't like what he said, but I'm not sure. The Christian in me is like, yo, Kanye, you wrong. The husband in me is like, yo, man, you just said that to my wife, you might have got the shoe, too. So I'm a little
you
torn
know,
on that one.
You don't. My husband's being very conservative in how he's approaching this, but I've seen my husband very, very, very angry, and not often, because
no
I have to say, compared to me, my husband is very calm, and I will never forget one of the first times I actually seen him upset. We were on our way home from bowling, and we usually, traditionally, we would stop at the 7-Eleven and pick up something to snack on before we went home, because we had a long ride home. And we stopped at the 7-Eleven, and we were talking about what we were going to get when we went inside. And we were sitting there, and for whatever reason, there was a guy standing in front of the 7-Eleven. He walked over to my side of the car, and he commenced to open my car door on my side. And I'm thinking, what is he doing? My husband got out the car, went around the car, and I can't even remember. One of the things I do remember is KL saying to the man, what are you doing? Are you out of your bleeping, bleeping, bleeping mind? If you touch that car door, you and my wife, and I'm going to take your arm off and beat you with it. And it was because my husband was very not understand why. I didn't know what this man was going to do, and he was actually inebriated. So,
yeah, they were both drunk, and his partner didn't stay to help. His partner was like, I'm out. His partner basically went into the store, and I was yelling at the guy so loud that the people in the store were scared to come out.
Everybody was people were scared to get out their cars. People were scared to come out the 7-Eleven. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, please don't hit this man because he's already drunk. He might fall over, hit his head, and then you kill him. And then we got to sit here and wait for the police. But,
and we're in Long Island, so I might not make it home. And we're in Long Island. I might have caught the Rodney King. So, you know,
yes.
But it is, that's why I said I'm a little torn. Because I understand it, but you have to try to take the high road because, you know, now you got to put what's probably going to amount to a large sum of money in this cat's pocket, man. And it
right.
just doesn't make any sense. You know, moving forward, you know, just thinking about that, to anybody listening, you know, when you have a significant other and they seem to be threatened in any way, it is very difficult to sustain yourself to not want to be overly protective because we live in a crazy world. Like you heard Tiff say, when you have 8 deaths in the first couple of days of the new year and you see the gun violence, we see violence on a regular basis. It's portrayed online, something awful. You know, what are you to do? And so I just, anybody listening, judge me any way that you choose to. I've made my peace with the Lord and I don't think I would allow myself to get to that point. But like I said, with Kanye, I kind of feel for him because this cat is now going to come away and say, I got this dude to beat me down, and now I ain't get paid. And that's what seems to be the consensus. But now with that said, my wife stepped away from the mic, so I'm going to hold this down for a little bit, is that I want to bring up these videos or just to talk about these videos. Tiff and I were sitting here talking, and we were deciding what to talk about tonight. And it seems that there are more... There's an ever-increasing set of videos that come out on a regular basis of, gotcha. And it just seems like more and more of these videos have younger and younger children doing things that they could have, they can't have any way of understanding what they're doing. So they're emulating and simulating things that they have been left to see. And we somehow have allowed folks to video this, videotape this, put it on social networks, and we're finding it funny, we're finding it cute, and all these different video shows that have come up, like the Tosh.0s, I know Shaquille O'Neal had a show, and some of these other video shows that have come up that they just troll YouTube and other places, VMO I think it's called, to get these videos. But what some of these kids are doing... It's scary. And
now, I'm
gonna
say,
outright disgusting.
I'm going to say, because I posted on Facebook regarding, and this is a topic that Cam and I talked about before, as far as the way technology is being used now and parents needing to take more control on the technology. We have mentioned this on so many shows. And I posted on Facebook about parents needing to... not only monitor, but even sometimes restrict how their children are using these mediums like cell phones, the internet, and even television. And most of the people agree with me. There was one person in particular that she believed that the way I saw it was unrealistic. And I said, if you have the option, it's like saying, okay, everyone should have a mini fire extinguisher in their kitchen just in case there's a fire. And you tell them, oh, that's not realistic. I don't need a mini fire extinguisher. And then you end up with a fire, which you could, that extinguisher could have helped you a little, if not
yeah, but
a lot.
The kids,
a
but the
bit.
Kids are not abusing. The kids are not abusing it. Like, I mean, the kids are not video. Well, some are videoing themselves, but these kids are too young. These are parents other siblings. These are
right.
older folks videotaping children in Pampers. Like, I saw the video with the two little girls sitting there, and she's like, F you, suck mine. And they're going back and forth with just derogatory comment after derogatory comment. And it says, okay, to me, how long did you have to sit under other adults or siblings or whoever to be able to use the vile language in its proper text?
Right.
See, because you're using it the way it's supposed to be used, but you're not a child that's supposed to be using it. So when you say suck mine, you're saying it the way it's supposed to be said, but you're not supposed to be saying suck mine. And then who's videotaping it and uploading it so you can see this child who has no teeth saying suck mine and you're dummy, and these kids are going back and forth. And it's two different kids. They're not even sisters.
But see, that's the point
households.
I wanted to make. That's the point I wanted to make, because I said it's the parenting. And the person said, oh, everybody always blaming the parent. But you're right. KL and I watch videos regularly. We watch a lot of these videos regularly in order to have information to talk about. And the idea is, like KL said, these children are too young to upload these videos themselves. So there is an adult behind the camera who thought this was funny and decided to put it on the internet. And now you have these children with explicit language, with all type of simulating sex acts and everything. I actually watched a video a couple of days ago, which it really bothered me, because the way these young girls were, there was two girls, and the way they were dancing and the things that they were doing at their age, I had no knowledge of. They had to be maybe 8, 9 years old. They were actually simulating oral sex. They were simulating vaginal and anal sex. And then they were simulating sex with each other. So,
come on, man. Really?
During their dance.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
You know what?
And there was somebody holding the camera. So you can't tell me it was another child holding the camera. Somebody thought this was funny. And it reminded me of, because we still, people don't realize that we do have a high rate of sex, little girl sex trafficking. And we actually have an organization here in New York called GEM that helps girls who have been victims of sex trafficking. And people don't understand, we in the United States, there is still a high percentage of little girls who are kidnapped, who are kept hostage. We just had the three women who were found in the house with the guy who kept them for over 10 years as sex slaves. So the idea is to have these two little girls, it really reminded me that unfortunately they have someone in their life, an adult, which to me is sick, that thinks that this is cute and don't realize, okay, now you put this on the internet. You know how many pedophiles are watching these little girls emulate acts that they have.
You never know who's a pedophile in your camp.
Right, right.
We found that out.
And KL and I learned that recently.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm still cool with the dude, but I just didn't know his history like that. But I you know what? I'm just hoping that he don't have a relapse. But I found out that someone that was cool with Tiff and I had a history of pedophilia. Well, no, was it pedophilia? Or, well, yeah, he's considered he was found guilty of
Mm-hmm.
And so
he's
just
a pedophile.
It's and so yes, he's a registered. Put it like he's a registered sex offender. So we don't know what he actually is.
Somebody that we have known for a number of years,
for a couple of years, and have talked to and have sat down, bowled against.
Broke bread with,
and so you never know. And I would implore anybody to take a look at how many sexual offenders are in the neighborhoods that you live in. You'd be surprised how many of them are right up and down the block from where you are. So when you, and I say this all the time, Tiffany, that when you expose little kids, not just little girls, you got little boys out here being jumped off too. You open them up to things. Also, to me, you start to blur the line to things that should be wrong. And I'm going to tell you as a teacher, I hear the things, okay. I just recently had a student who in her phone had sexual pictures that she was sending out to grown men. And the parents didn't seem to have any problem with it. And when I explained to them how I came across it, and I said, listen, you know, I confiscated her phone. This is what was on it. Well, you can't go on her phone. You can't look at her phone. It wasn't going on her phone. This is what was on her phone when I took it from her because she wasn't supposed to have it in school. Parents didn't care. And I'm like, wow. And so that's an older child. So now if we allow the kids at the early ages to start to think that certain acts or simulations of acts are okay, how long before some perv goes, let's do this for real?
Right.
Now, anybody listening to this show knows people who are creepy. You have seen the creepy dude at the club. You have seen the creepy dude at church. You have seen the creepy chick on the subway, on the bus, the creepy dude on the bus. You have seen dudes and women too close to children or come to the park and they ain't got no kids with them. And everybody's like, what's that chick or what's that doing? We have read stories of women kidnapped and children that are not theirs because their head is screwed up because of what happened with their own. Men who are just twisted and do things to little girls that make us all ill. So why would you put videos of kids portraying sexual acts? And my thing is the language. See, I'm big on the language because if you let kids think that language is okay, they equate that to behavior. Well, if I can curse and no one stops me, well, then I can do other grown-like things.
Absolutely.
And it's just really scary. And if anybody's listening, call in 646-200-3838. Tell us what ratchet videos you have seen. How did it make you feel? And let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100. If you enjoyed them and said, I didn't think it was that bad, it was cute, it was funny, and y'all are over-exaggerating this, come on in and let us know. If you one of those people that's like, look, when I see those videos, I laugh, and it's what it is, come on, because it's whatever, fine. Because there's an ongoing vine of that same little kid that goes, hello, mother. But he can't be no more than 7 or 8. He's got one tooth hanging out, and he's like, hello, mother. And it seems to be connected to 1,000 vines that I see. Now, is it laughable? Yes, but it's damaging. So where's the next step? So if you're listening, call in. We'd love to hear from you. Press 1 and let the host know you want to talk about a video that you've seen, something that has disturbed you. Because we've also seen these dubbing videos of little kids simulating dub dancing. And adults is actually cheering it on.
And I wanted to say that KL and I are talking about videos that we've seen online. But I've also been to teenage parties
where
a friend, can you please come support?
We see it in school. We get it home. We see it in school where we got to walk around and go, okay, get off the booty, stop. You're in school. They get mad.
Thing is, when you have teenage parties, and I'm talking about 14, I went to a Sweet 16 one time, and all the adults were around. And see, I can't say anything because I wasn't that close to the people who were throwing the party. I was actually a friend of a friend, and because I do event planning also, they said, Tiffany, can you come help out and help us decorate and set up? I said, sure, I'll come help out and set, decorate. But I also stayed for the party because I needed a ride home. And the way these 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds were dancing with the adults there, I'm looking at the adults like, okay, nobody is going to stop this. Like, it was literally, I felt like I was watching a dry pump porn. It was so disgusting to me. And this was not the first time that I had attended a party. I went to a baby shower where a girl, she looked like she was about 10 years old. She was dirty whining. And all my fellow Jamaicans know what dirty whining is. She was about 10 years old. And she's on the floor doing all this grinding and shaking and twerking, and the adults are cheering her on. So these kinds of videos that I've seen where children are emulating and simulating things that they shouldn't be, I've seen this in person, and the adults seem to think that this is okay. And my thing is, I didn't move my body like that when I was young. I danced when I was younger. I've danced since I was 7 years old. But the idea is, at what point do we say it is not appropriate for you to gyrate like that? It's not appropriate for you to look like
I danced like that when I was younger.
You did what?
I danced like that when I was younger. I ain't gonna lie. I have to tell the truth. I started getting it in when I was 12. You know, we talked about that. I was nasty, and I didn't have social media. I had porn. I had videos, and so, you know, no one regulated my access to videos, and so, of course, I was going to try to get the little girls to do what I saw the chicks doing the videos. It comes down to access, and I always tell my mom, I said, you know, you should have been arrested for child abuse, not paying attention to some of the things that I was doing. And then once I got older and I had women come over, my mother and grandmother would let it happen. Instead of, you know, saying, you know, you need to chill, it was just, you better not get nobody pregnant. Okay. But that ain't stopping. And so parents have to, when you first see it, shut it down. Shut it down. Don't act like it didn't happen. Don't just say stop that. Discuss it. Make sure the kid understands exactly why this is wrong. Make sure the kid understands what the dangers of this could be. And you got to give them something positive to hold on to when they're faced with this out in the streets, because their friends is going to present them with opportunities that you may not be there for. You've got to give them something to hold on to that brings them back home to you, because, you know, it's just ridiculous. It's just really ridiculous what's going on out here. And I think, like, when you look at the Miley Cyrus type stuff and things that are connected, like Hannah Montana, like, people, you know, they laugh and joke about it, but some kids still see her as Hannah Montana. So
yeah,
when they see that as a natural progression, then they go, okay, Hannah Montana became this. I can become this. And it goes back to what we said earlier in the show about kids. Miley Cyrus was one of the kids that was up on that wall that the kid chose as being successful. So if we allow our babies to be on video acting in certain ways and we think it's funny, well, kids will do anything for attention. They love the attention of people that they believe love them. So if you ignite the negative behaviors to connection to positive thoughts, then they will keep doing it. They will do it overtly because they want to keep getting that love from you.
Right.
Kids need guidance. And if a kid comes in a room and says, ooh, I got an A, and two parents go, hey, that's great. But a kid walks in a room and says, suck my, and all the kids turn around and give this kid attention, kid starts going, when I got the A, only two people paid me attention. But when I said suck my, all the parents paid attention to me. Now, if somebody laughs and cheers that on, well, now you got a kid walking in the room screaming suck mine every chance he gets, not understanding the total implication. But if somebody tightens that booty up right then and there and makes the kid not want to come in the room and say that anymore and then explains why, then you have a chance of curbing that.
Now, there are also videos that Kael and I have watched that I really thought were cute and I thought were adorable, like the other one we watched last night where the little boy was getting his father was going to beat him and told him to get the belt. And
you're going to hurt me. Are you going to hurt you?
He told him to get the belt, and the little boy was like, oh, I don't have time for this. And it was so funny.
No, I don't have time for you.
Yeah, he was very curious. He said, I don't have time for you to beat me. And then he went on to explain why he shouldn't get a beating. And it was hilarious to me. And I think videos like that are cute when kids try to talk themselves out of getting a whoop. Because, you know, we all did. Kael has his own stories about when he was younger and how he would run around the house and then finally his mother would catch him. And he would scream out, I surrender.
He would still beat me. Child abuser.
And she would still beat him. But
I would like that video where the little girl said, you know, I'll be a good daughter. I love Jesus.
Yes.
I just want to go to
school. She started praying.
I love the Lord.
So she's
like, I'm going to pray.
She said, I'm going to pray right now. She actually told him about the whole story, I'm going to pray right now. Like, stuff like that is funny to me. It's very cute.
That's
it's
natural,
childlike.
That's natural progression. And it's typical of what children are supposed to do. And things like that I don't have a problem with. It's when you have children, you know, I think it is the problem is because the child has no idea what the implications of what they're doing really mean. And you don't want to expose your kid to something that when they go down that road, they can't find themselves. You don't want to see children lose their youth. It is a horrible sight. Like, we were just talking about it today in school. We have a young lady that, how do you convince a 14-year-old to listen to you when she had openly admit that she's been with grown men and that, you know, she's already on her second abortion and she's 14.
Wow.
And she tells you that grown men give her money to do things because her mom doesn't want to give her money. And what do you do when you have a child whose school is not the option because she has grown men treating her like a grown woman? You know, do you chuck it up and count her for loss because she's going to have babies and those babies are going to have babies and we're going to have to deal with this. And who knows, was she the product of one of these type situations where Somebody videotaped her, or somebody turned on a karaoke machine and was, go Shay Shay, go Shay Shay. And, you know, when she was 3 years old, you know, dirty whining, whatever, you know. It's, we have to look at the long-term implications of what these videos could do to her, and it's what it's exposing other children to. Other children may see that and think it's perfectly okay also. We know kids emulate what they see.
Absolutely.
You know, it's scary. It's scary, especially being parents and then, you know, about to be parents. You know, there's just some, we just watched a video of a woman in a car with a guy just slapping her on video. And she's screaming, get off me, get off my hair, and he's just slapping her. And then it got good to him because he turns a couple times and looks at whoever is videotaping him. And then he starts punching the young lady, and they're sitting in the front seat. So it's like, okay,
and
so
he didn't
the
even
person videotaping didn't try to do anything. The dude is actually enjoying the fact that he's being video beating this young lady. And it's like, how much do we put out there? And where's that line?
I actually have Facebook friends now, and they have made a stance against these videos, and they've actually posted and said, if they see any feeds of videos with children emulating sex acts or having discussions that shouldn't be had by children, they will delete their friends. And they've actually started deleting people, even family members, from their Facebook page for making these child videos go viral. And I think that's a strong stance to take. And I have to commend them for doing it, because I don't forward those videos. It just, I'll make a comment on it. When I'm on my Facebook page, I'll make a comment on it, but I will not post the video, because I just think it's disgusting. Like the video with the two girls simulating the sex act, it makes me cringe to even think that as young as they are, that this is in their minds to think it's okay to do. And for an adult to videotape it and think it's okay to videotape them and put them on the internet for people to watch them do this, it's really sad to me.
I got a couple friends that are doing the same thing. They're like, if anybody puts up a fight video, any of those fight videos that are prevalent now, she automatically deletes you. She's not considering
nothing.
Yeah,
I can't watch the fight videos either.
No, I watch them because I want to see what I, to me, I watch them because I want to see what the kid, see, let me explain why I watch all these things. It's not for entertainment. I'm actually learning because I'm trying to figure out ways to counter the enjoyment that kids take from it. And I have regular conversation with students because part of my magic, part of my pedagogy, and that means the way that I teach, is that I try to get kids to offer the things that they enjoy. And then I attempt to take those off the table and replace them with other things that are positive, and to give the kid options without demoralizing or demeaning the things that kids like. So I hear what they say. I listen to what they say. I listen to what they like. I listen to what they enjoy. And then I say, okay, but did you realize that this could happen? Did you think about this? And then I say, well, what about this? And I try to offer and snatch that off the table and put something else. These videos have such an effect that Sharkeisha became a regular name to the kids, where if you were going to beat somebody, it was, I'm going to Sharkeisha you. And some of these other videos, and the way these videos, they're getting more violent. And what we're not able to see is, did that person die?
Right.
Did that person have brain damage? Did that person's life become altered all the way around? And that's what I feel happens with these kids. We don't get to see these two little girls who speak in so nasty to each other. We don't get to see them at 15 or 16 years old if they're having problems. Did they turn out to be doctors? Did they turn out to be lawyers? Now, I'm going to be honest, if some major changes didn't happen, who knows? But the one thing I have learned is you can't judge what you see in those videos as a tell-all, but let's keep it real. If at 5 or 6, 7 years old, you're combing a doll's baby and you're telling somebody else they need to shut the F up because they suck this and they suck that, and you 6 or 7, actually those girls weren't even 6 or 7, they were 5 and 6. Do you really see a bright future for them? So I see it because we share the school with the public school downstairs, which is the kids that are K through fifth grade. Some of the things I have heard second, third, and fourth graders say to adults, I listen. I'm sorry. I'm just a person that I don't care where I'm at. If I hear a kid say something vile, my ear, I turn and go, hey, even if it ain't my child, I'm saying something.
Me too.
I'm saying
me
something.
Too.
Did you just say that? No, don't do that. And I try to intervene with kids. And I've had kids say, leave me the F alone. You ain't my effing teacher. You teach upstairs. Get the F away from. And I'm like, and a part of me wants to kick him dead in the face. Or like what the comedian that Bernie Mac said, punch him in the throat. You
yeah.
really want to do that because it's like, yo, I have seen little kids say, well, you can suck my, your thing is as big as my pinky. How you telling somebody to suck it? How you telling a grown man who can snatch you out this school right now and do things?
You.
You know, it's, but you know what? That came from the sense of empowerment somewhere. Because you didn't come out the womb that way. You didn't come out the womb with that language.
But you know, again, people hate when I say parenting. But it was one video that went viral of a little boy. He had to be maybe 4 or 5 years old, cursing up a storm. And they found his mother, and they did an interview with his mom. And you know what his mom said? She doesn't understand what the big deal is because all kids curse.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Wow. Wow.
I can't even wrap my mind around that. What happened to parenting? What happened to your 4 or 5 year old should not be okay with cursing out adults? Because if an adult slaps him up a little bit, then you'd be wanting to fight the adult because you are not a parent. Obviously. It's
exactly. Well, that's the first thing. They'd be ready to stomp a parent out. They stomp somebody out.
Right.
And now it's another video of you and your whole family beating somebody up because they put their hands on little Shay Shay. You know, but Shay Shay was pulling down her pants talking about eat her. And yes, we have little kids saying that too. So folks, yes, if you're listening, going, I can't believe that. Yes, we have little girls grabbing at their vaginal areas talking about eat mine. And I'm like, hold on. You 6. Did you just tell an adult to eat your, and they look at you like, and?
My mother would have killed me. My mother would have killed me.
Keyword, your mother would have killed you. My mother would have murdered me, took me out in the street, murdered me again, and dared anybody to put her in jail because it's sad. It is sad. And again, where did that sense of empowerment, where did that start? When she pulled off her pamper and started touching something, did you go, yeah, baby, good? Did you videotape that? Like, where is this going to end? What's next? That we actually start with the child pornography? Because it's close.
It's close. Very close.
It is close with the clothes that kids are wearing, with the Miley Cyrus type things, with the twerking videos. You got twerking videos now where you got 20 minutes of twerking with some girls who don't even have bodies, but they just on the floor, bent over. And if you look at some of these videos, and I tell folks this all the time, pay attention. Some of these videos are going on in schools or rec centers or whatever, in locker rooms and bathrooms, because schools are not being diligent on taking phones.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here right now with a student phone on my table because I forgot to lock it up in my office before I left because he had his phone out during detention. I don't play that. You will not have me and kids that I'm teaching in videos going, well, that's supposed to be in the background, but this is us twerking in the back. No. Give me the phone because I'm not having it. But teachers have gotten to the point that they're tired and they don't want to deal with the headache. And some of these kids, the phone is so messed up that the parents come in line and say you broke it and then try to sue you.
Wow.
For the rest, I'm serious. We have kids with $500 phones and the screens are busted and the phone is raggedy. And I'm like, how did you destroy a 500? You listen, we got kids with Galaxy S4s, phones that I can't even afford right now. New model iPhones, phones that I can't afford. And they're tattered. I mean, they're roughed off. Some of these phones just came out last year, and you would think they was beating somebody with the phone. And then when you take the phone, first thing the kid says, no, no, my phone was working when I gave it to you. So for some teachers, you're stuck because you don't want the cameras in your classroom, but yet what are you going to do? I don't care. I'm taking it, and I don't care if you say, nah, this is how I got it, and I lock it up.
But it's
crazy. But you got to look at that. You look at some of these videos, some of these fight videos are going on in bathrooms and in locker rooms, and we just watched a video the other day with the girl being bullied, and she's walking. The other chick is steady talking. I got KD's on, $200, da-da-da.
$200.
But the video is being taped from a car. So that means somebody's old enough to drive somebody else around while videotaping this child being bullied. Mm. Now, here's the thing. She got set up and gave her a 30-piece. Now, you guys that might be listening don't know what a 30-piece is. That's when you get in 30 punches. She gave
and
her
the
a 30-piece.
And the person punch in.
Ain't get nothing back. All she did was try to grab and got soaked in the mud puddle that she was rolling her around in. But here's the problem. We don't know if now that same chick that got up out of that mud puddle came back with 6, 7, 8, 10 girls. Because some of the same girls that was with her when they were bullying her and cheering were now cheering when she got beat up. So now do they flip-flop back and now come back and beat this young lady up? See, who are these people in the car? Who are these people that's taping this? And I'm sorry, I love my people, but something has to happen. Laws have to change. That the people who are videotaping this mess and putting it on social networks got to start facing some charges.
That's my thing also. If you're not videotaping it so you could turn it into the police, then you're an accessory to the act.
It should be, but unfortunately, I'm with you with that, but unfortunately, that's not the law. But listen, I'll tell you what, hold that thought, baby, because that's a good, we're going to talk about the law aspect of it too. This is Reality and Relationships. That is my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and I am KL Belvin. And you know what? Listen, don't just sit there and listen. If you're on the line, press number one. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to take a two-song break. And we're going to come back. We're on the final stretch, the last half an hour. We're going to continue with this extended subject. And then we're going to close it up for the night. So don't go anywhere. Listen to the wonderful music from the GQ College DJ. And we'll be back in two songs, The Reality and Relationships. See you in a minute.
Than the flawless peace around her neck.
we gonna do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
Palace Radio DJ does his thing every week. Welcome back. We are discussing ratchet child videos and the implications and the danger. You brought up the legal part, baby. We were talking about the legal part before we went to break.
Yes.
Honestly, what can be done if somebody wants to, if they're not putting their child in imminent danger, other than just being stupid and not smart, what laws do you think they can actually erect that's going to change this? I would like to see the laws change, but I don't think that they will.
I think it's not imminent danger, but it is dangerous. It's dangerous for you to take videos of two little girls emulating sexual acts. Because also they had clothes on. It was still what it was. And I didn't even mention the fact that they were touching their private parts and then licking their fingers. I mean, it's
okay,
just...
Okay, now you got to get good. Somebody got to get good.
Right. So at some point, you have to say, okay, where's the adult in this? And if the adult is behind the camera and the adult put this video on the internet, this is a problem. And the adult
needs to be... Here's the problem with the laws, though. If you change the laws, like if you... And this is what, like, people argue. If you change the laws, if you go, you can't put certain things out, then people will extend that to, like... Like, you're a pageant queen. People will start to say certain girls in certain costumes for pageant events is suggestive, and those people are being brought up on criminal charges because there's always people that's going to work things to their advantage because they're upset that the things that they like.
You're absolutely right. But, honey, these two girls were emulating a sex act. To me, that was child pornography, whether they had their clothes on or not. That was child pornography, what I was watching. And
yeah, I got you.
So just because they had their clothes on, that's just totally irrelevant to me. They were actually doing things that just were inappropriate. And it had to that video.
Yeah, that to me, you know, child services in whatever state you live in, you know, they track down enough foolishness online. They can track that down. Listen, you can get an IP address or something. And I think everybody, and you know, you and I talk, you and I, you know, have went through that before when I had that situation in school. I had a crash course. Like, I didn't know that I almost got my license taken away because just trying to help the police. Like, they couldn't get a video of, like, these young men had put a video out of a girl that they was with from, I was a dean in high school, let me back it up. I was a dean in high school, and one of the 15-year-old freshmen had got caught on video performing fellatio, and the boys, who were both over 18, put the video on a social network. They then tagged or forwarded it to other kids in first school, so it started to whip around school. When cops had started doing the investigation, the officers said they were actually going to arrest the kids that forwarded the video and the kids that received it and then forwarded. They were thinking about that. And then they were having problems trying to get the original video. Like, the video had been removed, but they had, you know, word of it. They had, you know, they had all the information about it, but they didn't have it. So then I said to them, I can get the video because I know there's too many young men running around here who are just perverted. That they're not going to delete that. It's on somebody's phone. It's somewhere. And I can get it. Now, I did. I got it for them, and I got it because I felt these young men needed to be prosecuted. Well, I found out later, they was like, if it had been proven that I looked at the video, I could have been arrested for transporting child pornography simply because I was from where I got it to try to get it. And I sent it to the police. And actually, my young person as well as that, and I had an opportunity to talk to the Brooklyn DA because I had went to an in-service and we were talking. He said, now, the only thing that would have saved me is because of the position that I held and what I was actually trying to do, but I would have had to go through the system for someone to make sure that there was no interior motives on my part. He said it would have been very uncomfortable. He said, and the Board of Ed could have chose to let me go, even though I would have been doing the right thing. Even though the two young men eventually were arrested and whatever, I said, you know what? And he said, as sad as it sounds, I would tell you in the future, just leave it alone. So if the police are just stuck, that's it. I was like, wow, no problem. And I had to consider my job. And I said, if it ever came up like that again, I'll leave it alone. But you learn quickly that, you know, laws haven't caught up to the technology yet.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about the children's videos and the ratchetness and the adults behind the camera who are taping it, what I find funny is the videos that KL and I watch where parents are actually implementing discipline. I love to see those videos. I hate to see the bleeding hearts and the, oh my gosh, you're humiliating the children. How did you do that? It's just going to damage their psychology and then shut up. I love to see parents take control. Like the father that whipped his two daughters for twerking in church, I commend him for doing so. The parent who on Christmas...
Oh, no, hold on. We talked about that. Hold on. Wait.
I got to try
to do my Benny Hill and jump out of the car rolling on this one. I understand the father disciplined his child, but he horsey whipped his children.
Okay.
No. Wait, we know you don't like King. No, wait. You can't put a violent beating, even though it was discipline. He was trying to...
I bet they'll think twice about twerking in church again.
Not necessarily. They just will think twice about not getting caught. I mean, that was like Denzel getting whipped in glory. And that didn't look like a belt. That looked like a wire. That looked like a extension cord.
They said it was an electrical cord.
I don't think
his motive apparatus was appropriate, but the idea that when he found out that his daughters were on video twerking in church, he put a foot to that behind. They had to take that size 10. But the idea is the other video we recently saw with the little boy who was failing in school, who thought he was going to get, was it Xbox, PlayStation? I don't even know what they are. But his mother fooled him, and he had an empty box under the tree. I see all these phone calls.
That one I like, when the kid opened up the box, and she said, get your grades up, maybe you'll get the PlayStation. And he was hurt.
But the post that came after, oh, how could the parent do that? She should have gave him the Christmas present anyway and just discussed with him about improving his grades. Really? So now we're basically rewarding kids for not doing anything, for failing in school, and hope that you get your grades up because I gave you a game? Really?
I'm sorry. My mother was the type that you'd have came downstairs and she'd have made you watch everybody else.
That's how my mother was. Everybody else would have opened Christmas gifts and you wouldn't have.
You got socks. You would have got, you would have said, yeah. And it would have been a badly wrapped thing of socks, which you knew they were socks before you opened it up, but she'd make you open it up anyway. And then you better act like you like those socks or you get beat again. Listen, my mother was abusive, man. But you know what? I did so many things to warrant the abuse that I look back on it and I'm saying, you know what? If there are people out there who are against children getting beat, and I can respect and understand that being the case. But
please,
I'm sorry. When I look at how bad my little behind was, I can't think of any one beating that I got that I say I didn't deserve that. I honestly deserve
that.
We were at the laundry and I was throwing rocks up at the window, and my mother came out and said, stop throwing those rocks, you're going to break a window. My sister and I was like, yeah. As soon as my mother went back inside, sling, and I broke the window. We came running and sat down. The man came in the laundry and said, somebody broke my window. And he said, that little boy right there was out there. So my mother was like, I hear them talking to the man, I'll take care of it. Got home, got the whipping of life. Then another time I had water guns. My sister and I had brand new water guns. I took the shade off the lamp because I needed a target. And I was firing water at a hot lamp. Now, of course, when it exploded, my mom heard it. She came right upstairs and could smell the smoke. And basically beat my sister. I'll see, my sister, she would strip us naked. Now, some of y'all understand those type of beats. She would strip us naked, and she'd say, come on over here. So you're going to ask us to walk over with you holding that belt in your hand. So my sister would inch over. My mom would snatch her by her hand just high enough so her toes would kind of dangle. So she couldn't get no running, you know, nothing, and wear her out. Now I'm watching it. And then you say, Keith, come over here. Well, check this out. Now, you're going to have to work for this. I would run past her. My mother was a, you know, big woman. She would chase me. And once I made her sweat and she's huffing and puffing and she's cornering me, my mother would beat me down. I would be on my knees begging, Mom, I surrender. Mom, I'm sorry. The beating stopped after three things happened. One, she got tired. I got hit in the face or I got hit on the penis. So, and I hit once, I said, I hit my pee-pee, and I rolled over.
She didn't want to damage the family jewels.
Yeah, and then she kept beating me like, well, she said, let me see. And when I said, I'm crying, I tried to show her my junk. She kept beating me. I was like, what you doing? The beat's supposed to be over. And then another time, she caught me across the face and left a welt on my cheek. And I got to stay home that day because she definitely didn't want child abuse charges being brought up. Because I got to, you better not say nothing. But my mother was the type that would come to school and you would hear her in the hallway talking about, and I will beat you. I was like, you know what? Yeah, that's my mom. But you know what? I can't take any one of those beatings that I didn't deserve.
My mom was the same way. And again, my mom, she was a young mother, and by 20 years old, she had two kids. And it's funny because I think about the things that people say about, oh, you shouldn't humiliate your children, you shouldn't disappoint them. And it just reminds me, when I was younger, I believe I told the story before, that my mom worked very, very hard. She went from public assistance to doing everything she could to make sure she had education, make sure that my brothers and I had education. But she did not like when we were not appreciative. I was always appreciative. But my brother Tracy, who was 2 years younger, he actually passed when I was 15, I had to be maybe 10 years old. He was 8. And she bought me something because I did very well in school. I had got skipped 2 grades. I was always on the honor roll and different things. And she bought me something to basically commend me for doing a good job in school. So my brother Tracy, he was a little bit jealous. And he was like sulking and sitting to the side saying, oh, brother, I don't get anything. I don't have nothing. And my mom was actually ignoring him. And I realized, even as I'm older, that there were times when my mom, when she was ignoring you, you would hope, okay, please just recognize that she's ignoring you. And she was trying to ignore my brother, and he wouldn't stop because he wanted to be acknowledged. Well, she acknowledged him. He said one too many times that he don't have nothing. And my mother turned around and said, you don't have nothing? You don't have nothing? Okay, take off all your clothes. So now he's thinking he's about to get a beating. He scares his ass. No. I got everything. He's like, Keith, I surrender. I got everything. I got this. I got that. No, please. I got everything. I don't need nothing. Mama said, take off all your clothes. He took off all his clothes. He scared to death that he's going to get a whipping. My mother said, come here. She opened the front door. We lived on the 10th floor in the projects. She opened the front door and put my brother outside the apartment with absolutely no clothes on and closed the door and locked it.
That's abuse. That's you can't. You know, you can't. Nah, hold on. You're supposed to go to jail for that. You know, where was child services? Where's the neighbors to call child services? What the? You know what, man? See, God bless your mom, man. God bless your mom. Rest in peace. But come on, man. Yo, may your mom rest in peace. But you know what? She left him out for about 10 minutes.
But that was the longest 10 minutes.
Wow.
And thankfully, nobody came by. Because my brother didn't have a stitch of clothes on.
I took them in the house and said, come on, we're going to call the police right now. Your mom put that out like.
But my brother never said again that he didn't have nothing. My thing is, now I wouldn't take it to that extreme. I would not take it to that extreme. But there are certain things that I feel as a parent, you should just put your foot down. And like we said, with the kid with the empty box for Christmas, I love that. you get nothing. We're not going to reward you for bad behavior. And I think not enough parents are taking that step to say, you know what, I need to make this move to let you know that I'm being serious as a parent. Because honestly, to all those parents listening, when you go against what you should be doing, kids know it. And they take advantage of that. And they take it for granted. And they will not improve because they already see I can get what I want even if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. So I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I have to defend those parents that put the videos up of them disciplining their children. Somebody even had a problem, like parents who sit on the side of the road and have their kids wear a sign saying, I cursed out my teacher or I did something crazy. Somebody
I stole
had a
out
problem.
My mother's pocketbook.
Right.
People are always going to listen. You talked a few shows back. Remember you gave the different type of parenting, and we said that there are parenting techniques where parents want to be friends with their children. And then we also talked about authoritarian type parents who, you know, it's control no matter what. So the fact that we have such extreme is you're always going to have folks who don't agree. You know, Dr. Spock said time out. Folks of color were saying time out. You tear that butt up. And so everyone is going to have different views. And actually, there's a sister, Asada Kirkland, I believe is her name. I did a book signing with her. Her current book is called Beat Black Children, but it's Why You Shouldn't Beat Black Children. And she's actually been touring the country explaining that the beatings that children of color get actually damage them in the future. And so here she's wrote a whole book on why you shouldn't even spank your children. So everybody's going to have different views on how to raise your child. But the one thing that we have to agree with in bringing this to a close is that by all means, don't videotape them being ratchet and promote that, foster that, and then put it on social media. Now, that to me is a crime. That to me is child abuse. And that to me is only going to damage that child's future simply because if they start to adapt to what you're letting them do, then we all have to deal with this foolishness when they become older. So with that said, it has now brought us up. We're coming up on 10 o'clock. And again, I really enjoy doing these shows because it gives us the opportunity to discuss this. If you're listening, please check out the blog, klbelvin.blogspot.com, makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com, and you can definitely check out Tiffany and I on Twitter, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, author KL Belvin, and I am definitely on Twitter, author KL Belvin, and Braven Books on Twitter, and Tiffany, who doesn't use Twitter at all, but we'll give it to him anyway, is T. Braxton Belvin, at T. Braxton Belvin, right?
Yes, at T. Braxton Belvin.
At T. Braxton Belvin on
Twitter.
You need to. But listen, guys, I want to say, and my wife will have the last word, I want to say thank you again for tuning in. We have a special guest. We have a poet that will be in the house next week, Patricia Rivers, I believe is the name. I got to check. Patrice, I believe, is the first name. But she's going to come in and talk about what she does and her books, and we're going to have a good conversation with her next week. So, again, thank you for tuning in. This has been Reality and Relationships. Have a great night, darling.
Yes.
Close us out. Whatever you want to say.
Well, I would like to say thank you for tuning in. God bless and good night.
Good night.
You know I love you, right? Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I be with my baby.
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Oh, no, no. Yeah.
We've had some ups and downs. Made a lot of bad mistakes.
Bad mistakes.
But we've always had some good times. And through it all, you held me down. Baby. Before we touched it down. Ooh, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you just wanna give you, make love to you. Put you on a rocket flight, keep on loving till we touch.